Darren and I are doing this series of sermons on promises. Promises that are scriptural and good for us in this start of a new year to have in our hearts and our minds. And as I have said before, that our thought is to not give you a bunch of promises that you can like pull them off the shelf when you need one kind of promises. I remember a number of years ago, somebody gave me a little holder with about 100 little cards in it. And each of the cards was a promise from Scripture. And as you went through them, they were all things that God was going to do for you, which was wonderful. It was a great gift, a nice reminder, be able to flip through there and pull the cards out. But one of the problems with that kind of mindset is that we begin to think of God as our, to quote someone else, our cosmic bellhop, that God has nothing better to do with his time than to wait for us to ring the bell for him to jump to our beck and call. Whereas what God is desiring from us is really relationship, us together. God and his people working in sync with each other, doing his work and doing his will in this world. And that there's a richness to that, that he desires for us to have. And so I'd like us to look today at a familiar passage. It's found in the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning with the, I'm just going to do 18 through 22. I was going to do more earlier, but since as I was working on the sermon, it got too long. I figured I'd just settle in on this one section here. So Matthew 4, 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. May the Lord bless this portion from his holy word. That is a familiar story, is it not? It's one that when we were children in Sunday school, we heard and we had I'll tell you my age now, we had the flannel graphs up on the board. For those of you who are younger than me, I'll explain that to you later. It's what we did before we had PowerPoint. But you would have these pictures of Jesus greeting these fishermen, and the fishermen just leaving their boats and leaving their nets and following Jesus. And it's a lesson that we learned to understand how Jesus gathered up his disciples. And as we look at this story, it does bring back some familiar memories for all of us, I'm sure. And there's also a temptation. There's also a temptation in this passage to kind of focus in on a few things about it that we kind of makes us ponder. First of all, when I was looking at it, and I was talking with the folks from who were here for Compass Sports yesterday, when I was looking at it this week, I just kept being struck by the thought of what kind of charisma did Jesus have? What kind of personality must he have had for him to walk up to a couple of guys by the lake and say, hey, I know you're making your living as fishermen. I know this is what you do to feed your families and yourselves. But I want you to give that up and follow me. What kind of personality has that ability? I know that if I went to any of you and I had a job that I wanted you to do for me, I'd have to really talk my head off to convince you to do that little job. So I can't imagine what kind of personality Jesus must have had to to be able to draw people to Him in that form or fashion. And I also kind of got caught up with the thought of what must have been like for those disciples, those first disciples, to give up everything to follow Jesus. To lay down their nets. It was, in essence, to lay down their identity, because they were fishermen. That's how they were known. That's how they perceived of themselves. And we have that habit, don't we, of identifying ourselves oftentimes by what we do for our livelihood, by our career or our profession. That's our identity in many ways. So they laid down their identity, they laid down their ability to earn a living, and they followed Jesus. And what kind of courage did it take for them to do that? And why would they do that? Well, here's the thing. We read that story, and we listen to it, and we start to put ourselves into their shoes, and we begin to think, you know, I'm glad, if we're honest, we're saying, I'm glad it wasn't me. I'm not too good at that, giving up my ability or income. I'm not too good at that following Jesus and letting go of everything. I'm not too good at that finding my whole identity in Him and not in what I can make of myself. If we're honest, that's our reaction. And so we take a look at a passage like this, and we think it's inspiring, we enjoy it, we, like I said, it harkens back to memories of our youth, and then we put it up on the shelf for another day and another time, because it has little or nothing to do with us. Or so we think. Because we have this idea that God only calls people to do big things. God only calls people to lay down their nets. God only calls people to become evangelists that can fill great congregations and large crowds. And God only calls people to, you know, we get this idea in our head that God calls people to do just big things. And we are not big thing doers, at least in our hearts and our minds. We don't perceive of ourselves as doing big things. But what God calls each of us to do is to follow Jesus Christ in our lives. And to do it day in and day out. For God gives us the promise of a calling. Gives us the promise that we can be co-workers with Him in the field. It doesn't have to be big. It can be small. Because there's no small action if it's an act of love and grace and kindness. I got a little story from a friend of mine. He sent it to me. It was a very touching story. It was actually a clip from a news program, and I don't know what where it was or anything like that, but it was the story of a little girl who had just turned 3 years old, and she was in the grocery store with her mother. And there was a fella who was in the same aisle as them, and this fella had lost his wife of 60-some-odd years of marriage, and he was in a deep, dark depression and just barely getting by, just barely getting through life, and just didn't know what life was going to bring next to him. But this little 3-year-old girl, shopping with her mother on her birthday, calls out to this gentleman and she says, "Hey, old man, it's my birthday. Give me a hug." And that gentleman was shocked, surprised, and flabbergasted by that little girl's desire to get a hug from him. But he did what any of us would do, and he went over and he gave her a hug. And that was the beginning of something beautiful happening. Because that little girl sharing her love with that man turned his life around. And the two families are intertwined. And the question was asked of the gentleman, and said, well, how did this change you? And he said, she gave me a reason to get up in the morning. You see, we're called, each one of us, to be fishers for Jesus Christ, to be His followers, to minister in the way that He ministered, to have lives that show love in all of our actions and in all of our dealings with other people. We have been given the promise of being co-workers with Jesus Christ. Maybe not in grand and grandiose ways, but maybe in some little act of kindness, some kind word spoken, or a friendly smile given to somebody who looks like they haven't had a smile on their face in years. Maybe just the warmth of a handshake or a pat on the back, or an encouraging word to somebody who needs some encouragement. As Mike had said so well in the children's message, to make ourselves so appealing that others can see Jesus Christ in and through our lives. That's how we reach people. We're not all called to stand in front of Colosseums filled with 10,000 people to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. But we're all called to share His good news with our lives, with the way that we treat other people, the way that we love the unlovable, the way that we love one another. We've given the promise. We're given that promise that we can be fishers for God. That we can be those people who share His good news in a world that is so starved and so hungry for it. We're all called. We're all called to be followers of Jesus Christ, to do His work, to do His will, to share His love in ways both great, but more often than not, ways that are small. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, how good Your grace is toward each and every one of us. For we have been touched by Your love. We have been touched by the good news of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed us the way that You would have us to go. Help us, O Lord, to follow in Jesus' way, to share our lives in a way that helps people to see Your love in and through us. Help us to see the way that we can serve others in ways both great and more often than not small. Help us indeed to pick up the promise that has been given to us, the promise that we can be Your people in this world, in this time, in this place. We pray all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.